really appreciate all of those songs, but in particular, I don't remember having sung Channels Only before. To me, it was a new song, but I like the concept. So if we've sung that here before, then that's one of the weeks when I've been gone. But I love the concept of that song, thinking about us being channels for God and Him working through us. We've been talking some about that in Ephesians chapter 3. He talks specifically about that idea when he talks about God being able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us or through us. And that certainly is the way that we want to be able to work in God's kingdom. I want to take a few minutes tonight again to look at another study in the life of Nehemiah and in the book of Nehemiah. And we've been talking a little bit about what Nehemiah has already shown us. He's shown us that in order to get God's work done, you have to care a lot. You have to carry a burden for God's work. And he showed us that, and he cried over the distress that Jerusalem was in and that his brethren in Jerusalem were in. And he showed us that once you understand that that's the magnitude of the problem, that you're going to have to go to God. And we talked about how important it is to understand that we'll not accomplish anything. He didn't accomplish anything in Jerusalem for God, neither will we here without prayer. He prayed to God, and God was very much on his side in making preparations to do the work and in carrying out the work, and he's not done praying. We're going to see that as this work continues, there are other things that he needs to address with his God as well. And after praying about that, how important it was for Nehemiah to understand, if he was a leader, he had to make the tough choices. He had to get out there, and there has to actually be some work involved, and you got to make tough decisions, and you have to decide that, you know what, we've got work to do, we're going to move forward. Everybody may not be in favor of that, but we've got work to do for the Lord, and we have to move forward with that work. And he talked and showed us what it's like to make those tough decisions. And then last week we talked about his great leadership in the sense of the vision that he had as a leader, his ability to really to dream and to see something better and to get the cooperation of the people and to step up and say, you know what, all I'm asking you to do is follow me in this. That's the nature of a leader. A leader, by their very definition, would require them to be out front of the people in that sense. They're showing the people the direction, and God talks about that in the New Testament as well. Interesting that he chooses as a term for those that would be the spiritual leaders of the church today, he calls them shepherds, and that very much is carried in that idea. Shepherds leading the sheep out front, showing the sheep. And then we want to talk about what really tonight is the secret behind all of it. What's it really going to take in order for the wall to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, or in order for the church to grow the way that God wants the church to grow today? What really is the secret to all of that? Because the carrying the burden for God's people and God's work is important, and praying to God is critically important, and having the leadership that has the vision and is making the tough choices and is dreaming and is reaching out there and working, all critically important, don't get me wrong. But it all falls without the component that we want to talk about this evening. And I think that's always been the case with God's work, and we're going to see it even within the book of Nehemiah. We're going to see it start well and fall again because of this very thing right here, whether it exists or whether it does not exist. And so we have termed this particular lesson, "Let us arise and build." Remember in verse 18 of chapter 2, that's what the people said. Nehemiah inspired the people so much as leader to those people that they said, you know what, let us get up and let us build the wall. They were excited about that, and they were willing to do that. Tonight we want to talk about that becomes a critical component. Because leadership only serves a purpose if, in fact, others are working with them. And we want to talk a little bit about working together tonight out of Nehemiah chapter 3, in that whole chapter. You ever open up one of the books of the Bible and get to a certain chapter, and as you start, as a matter of fact, let's just look at Nehemiah chapter 3 together and see if it's not one of those kinds of chapters for you. This is one of those chapters that's easy to treat with a certain fashion. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built a sheep gate. And they constructed it and hung it on its doors. And they built it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it then as far as the tunnel, the Tower of Hananel. And then Eliashib, the men of Jericho, built. It says, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. And also the sons of Hasanab built the fish gate. And they laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. And it's not going to get any better than that. All the way through the chapter. It's one of those chapters that you start reading those names. It's kind of like when you're doing your daily Bible reading, you get to the book of Numbers. You ever just tempted to say, you know what? I'm falling a little behind. Maybe if I just skip the book of Numbers, that would work out pretty well. I mean, the names are tough. The places are tough. And sometimes there's a tendency, as you're reading through a chapter like that, to just skim it. Or maybe even to skip it entirely, because you're thinking, I'm not going to really gain much by just reading this huge list of names and who their father was or who their grandfather was. And in this particular case, what order they were around the wall of Jerusalem. And so normally we would try to read the text we were looking at. I don't want to read through that whole text. Let me just summarize for a minute while you're looking at this picture of the old city of Jerusalem. Because here is basically what is happening in chapter 3. I would encourage you to go back and read this. I'm just not doing that for the sake of time of all 32 of these verses tonight. But it's going to talk about these different gates that are around the city. It has already mentioned these two gates here, the sheep gate and the fish gate. There's going to be 10 gates in all, better named. There's going to be 40 sections of the wall that are addressed, people working on different sections of the wall. These gates were typically named for something associated with them. The sheep gate was near the area of the temple, and so would have been the gate where you'd bring the sheep in for the daily offering, thus the sheep gate. The fish gate was probably a gate wherein it would have been associated with the market of selling fish. They would have had tables set up there, fish and water in and out of one gate, and the dung gate, as you can imagine, would have been the area where they would have taken trash and refuse out of the city. The gates were all named. You've got all these different sections, but here's what this section of Nehemiah is all about. Here's this big list of names. And here's all these people and their lineage and all of that being talked about, I think, to make really one point. I think this chapter helps us to understand one point more strongly than it does any other point. And that is that great works depend on fellowship. I know that's not a word. That's why it's written out that way. But that's what they depend on. If you've got leaders, and I don't care how good the leaders are, if you've got leaders leading you, you still have to have workers who are following. Anybody understands that? If you are in an employer in some situation, if you are involved in, certainly those who are in the military would understand this very easily. The whole system is dependent on not only the leadership, but those that are working with the leadership. And that's exactly what we find out in Nehemiah chapter 3, that who are following makes a big difference. Because it doesn't matter how good your leaders are, how great your teachers are, it doesn't make any difference how hard they work. If they are doing it by themselves, they'll never build what God intends to be built. It becomes something that God intends that all of us, we have those that lead us in the work, but all of us are intended to work together in the kingdom of God. And so it really doesn't make any difference regarding the nature of the leader from the standpoint of, I don't mean it doesn't matter who you have as leaders. What I'm saying is, no matter how strong, how good, your leaders have to have workers. And that's where, if you are not one of the spiritual leaders in this congregation, then you need to be one of the spiritual followers. You need to be supporting and helping with the things that God wants us to do. And so I want us to look at just a few characteristics of these great followers. Great followers always have a willingness to work for God when we're talking about spiritual. Remember, we talked about Nehemiah said, you know what, I'm not passing this off on anybody else. Let me do the work. Let me do the work. I'll take the leadership in this. I'm not going to shirk my responsibility. There has to be a willingness to work. Not just, you know what, they've kind of forced this on me. I'll go ahead and do this. It's more than that. It is somebody who's standing there saying, like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. You remember Isaiah when he saw God sitting on the throne and saw that beautiful vision in Isaiah chapter 6? And we've talked about that before because I can never get the picture, and maybe it's just because of when I grew up and what was on TV when I grew up. I can't get the picture of Welcome Back, Kotter out of my mind when I think of Isaiah chapter 6. Because you get Isaiah there and God says, who am I going to send? You know, and I get this picture in my mind, at least of Horshack, you know, shouting from the back. That's Isaiah. Here I am. Send me. Let me go. Is there work to do? I want to be the one. That's a great picture in Isaiah chapter 6. That's what God tells us about these people as well. Look back in chapter 2 for just a minute. This really sums up the idea of arise and let us build. Look at verse 20, chapter 2. So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us, and therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. We will arise and build. They put their good hands to the work, it tells us. Back up in verse 18. Let us arise and build. And then they set their hands to this good work. Isn't that a great summary? He says, you know what? The people just started working. Now, Nehemiah is still leading. But he says, the people, in fact, are working. I love this quote I came across. He who professes to lead but has no one following is only out for a walk. Isn't that that's a good quote? Somebody has to get in behind them. Somebody has to be following. It doesn't do the leader any good to lead if he's not leading anybody. Now, I think technically you're going to find that great leaders will always have followers. That really isn't the issue. But we need to understand that God is saying the obligation is equal. Different role, but the obligation is equal. There are a lot of times we are in a different role, yet with mutual obligation. We have different tasks to perform, yet one mutual obligation or goal that we're striving for, and that's the nature in the kingdom. We need to understand you have to be willing. You have to put your hands to the work the same way that they were willing to put their hands to the work. Nehemiah has already showed us if you've got leaders that have got a good plan, if they've got a real noble purpose, if they're carrying a burden in their heart, then the next thing they're going to need is somebody that's willing to get down and do the work with them. And there's no question that the Lord has a great deal of work for us to do in the area of rebuilding His church or building His church in this day and age. Great followers work side by side. This is a great picture, and this is the picture of Nehemiah chapter 3 that is so good. One of the things that is repeated over and over again here, because as you're going through and you're thinking about the city, archaeologists have found parts of that wall that are 8 and 10 feet thick. So you can just imagine what this wall is. It's not building a wall like we think of as a wall. No, this is a wall that they're building. And so as they're building this wall 8 or 10 feet thick, and it mentions the gates particularly because that was the stronghold or the weak point of the city. How well you could defend your gates was how well you defended the city. You could break through a gate much more easily than you could break through 8 or 10 feet of solid stone and wall. So those that were working around the gate needed to give particular attention to that and special reinforcement, and they had to make sure that the gates were strong and secure because that was the security of the city. And then one phrase shows up over and over and over again in chapter 3. It keeps saying that this person or this group or his family was next to this group or this person or this family who was next to this person or this group or this family. That's said over and over again. That's more than just talking about a proximity. That phrase carries with it the idea of working hand in hand with, cooperating with. working because they knew they both had the same goal. And it didn't do me any good to act as if you weren't here next to me, because if you're building the same wall that I'm building, we've got to work in conjunction with one another to finish the project. And God helps us to understand that's exactly what they did. Think about this, who's there. As you go through and you start reading these names, you see that there are men and women working on the wall. There are artisans who are working on the wall side by side with general laborers that would not have been in the trades of arts. There are those who are religious leaders who are working side by side with those who are not the religious leaders. There are those who are wealthy working right alongside of the commoners. Everybody had joined as one workforce. Side by side. And God says that's exactly what we need. You need to have a side by side walk. You need to have a with them or next to them mentality if we're going to be able to complete the work of the Lord. Because what we find is that great projects for God throughout the Bible, great projects for God were, in fact, a compiling of pieces normally. Several people putting together and working side by side in order to create this common goal. In this particular case, this common structure that was around. And if I act independently of you, then we can't accomplish that work. That's the point in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God's saying you can't function that way. If I act like somehow or another we're not really parts of the same exact body, that's why he uses that phrase in 1 Corinthians 12. He's not talking about the church. I mean, he is talking about the church, but that's not the verbiage he's using. He's talking about the body because he wants us to understand the integral nature of that. How my one finger is very much a part of this entire body and tries to work in unison with that whole body. That's the nature of that. He says, that's the way we work in God's kingdom. We put the pieces together. Once we've got a picture, the big picture, the overall view of what it is that we want to accomplish, and I just stop there for a second and ask you, do you have a picture of that in your mind? How do we get that picture? How do we as a group understand where do we want to be a year from now as a group? Where do we want to be 5 years from now? Do you think of that in terms of what would we like to have by way of family members here? I mean, if we've got, and I didn't count, but if we've got 70 families represented right now, do we hope a year from now to still have 70? Or do we want 75? Or do we want 80 families? Do we want to reach out and do we want to grow? What do we expect? What do we expect to see by way of spiritual growth? Do we have a picture in our mind? Because I think that's critical. If you don't have a picture of where you want to go, you're not going to get there. You can just count on that. You just have to have that goal first. You have to have that set out in front of you first. So once we've got the big picture, you ever just close your eyes and try to get that picture? I mean, I just sometimes try to think, where do I want us to be? I try to get a picture in my mind. What do you want in that time period? I think that's necessary, setting those kinds of goals. Once you get that big picture, then you need to understand the connection. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Because God says, let me tell you how the wall of Jerusalem gets built. I know you wouldn't normally think Ephesians chapter 4 is going to tell you how the wall gets built, but it does. Because it's the same way that the church gets built today. And that's what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, this is that passage, and we've read this before, but I don't know that you can overread it. This is the passage where he talks about those that were given to the church as gifts. He says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, in verse 11. He gave those. He didn't give some to be apostles, the way some versions read. That's added to the text. I think it makes more sense just leaving it alone. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and pastors, teachers. He gave those gifts to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, That's all one phrase, not two phrases. The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints to do the work they're supposed to do. That's what teachers are supposed to do. That's what elders are supposed to do. That's what preachers are supposed to do. He says that they're to equip people to do what they're supposed to do. He says for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's a part of our responsibility one to another. He says, and the goal is till we all come to a unity of the faith of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He goes on to say that we should no longer be tossed to and fro. He doesn't want us just all tossed around. He wants us growing more than that. And how are you going to do that? Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's God's secret weapon for growth. He said, because everybody's building their section of the wall. That's exactly what's happening back in Nehemiah chapter 3. You had your section of the wall to build, but we're all on the same wall, but you were sticking your stones in, and I was counting on you to put your stones in, and you're counting on me to put my stones in, because we're all on one project. It's the same way it is. We need to have that connect. We need to see that connect. No idea why that's going backwards. I thought it went backwards on me before, and I thought maybe I was only dreaming, but I guess it actually did. And so we learned that we've got to have that connect, that side by side. We find out that great followers do things that maybe they're not used to doing. I'm not saying that we don't have talents and that we're not gifted in different areas. We are. And God expects us to use the gifts that we have. But great followers will also find themselves doing things that they're not always used to doing. Why? Because there is a work to be done, and I can't just do the things that I am most comfortable with. There's only one real blight to this whole picture in Nehemiah chapter 3. And that shows up in verse 5. Look at that passage. Verse 5 says, next to them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. Says, you know what, they had some nobles from Tekoa. And they said, you know what, this work's really not ours. We're this kind of beneath us. We're a little too good to put the grit on. We're nobles. And it says they wouldn't put their shoulder to the work. Well, God understands who's working and who's not working. But we need to understand that when people who have limited strength in an area are still willing to say, you know what, we need more workers in that area, I'm going to put forth my work in that area. I need to say, it may not be the thing that I'm most gifted at, but I'm going to go ahead and continue to put forth every bit of effort that I have. Where do you need workers? Is that my strongest suit? No, that's not my strongest suit, but if that's where you most need workers, then that's where I'm willing to work. And that's what we see with the people. That's why you see people who are, in fact, not bricklayers who are laying bricks. In verse 1 and 2, who is it? It's the priests who are laying bricks. Now, that was not their strong point. You know it. I remember showing up at a work party here one time at this congregation and helping load some stuff at a work party. Actually, it was a moving work party, helping somebody move. To which somebody walked out from the house who was lifting something and they said, wow, I'm amazed. I didn't know preachers lifted boxes. Well, if we can help it, we don't. But sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes it just needs to be done. These were priests and they're picking up bricks. Why? Because bricks needed to be picked up. You do what you have to do. They're willing to do that kind of work. As you go through and you start to look at verse 8, you find out there are those that are goldsmiths who are laying bricks. That isn't what they were used to doing. There were apothecaries, those that worked in medicine and such that were in fact laying bricks. As you go down a little bit further into the chapter in verse 12, you find out there's one man who didn't have any sons, so his daughters were picking up bricks and laying bricks. That's the nature of great followers. Great followers do some things that they may not normally be used to doing. Great followers build with enthusiasm. Look at verse 20. Love this description. And this is interesting because look at the way this reads in verse 20. It says, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, says, carefully repaired the other section from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashib to the high priest. Now, that just looks pretty normal, doesn't it? Interesting word that's translated carefully there in the New King James. That's the same word in the Hebrew that you'll find in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 19, where it talks about the wife of Potiphar and the things that were associated with that. And Potiphar comes in and he finds out after his wife had said what she had said and lied about Joseph and everything. But it says he burned. Same word. He burned with anger. It's the same word that is used in the prophet Jonah in chapter 4 and verse 1 when it says exactly the same thing. He burned with anger. I'm not sure why they translated it carefully here, because it carries much more the idea of he just absolutely burned for the work. He was dedicated to it. He was giving himself absolutely to it. This was the work of the Lord, and he was doing it because it was the work of the Lord. Jesus uses that reasoning for us in our regular everyday life, doesn't he? He says, let me tell you what kind of employee you ought to be. You work for somebody? He says, let me tell you what kind of employee you ought to be. You ought to work for your employer as if you were doing that work for the Lord. He says, as to the Lord. What does that mean? He says, what kind of an employee would you be for the Lord? This is the Lord's work, he's saying. This is what Jesus has asked me to do. This is what God's asked me to do. I want to give it every ounce of energy I can. He says, that's the way you ought to live your life in general, Jesus tells us. But that's what it's saying about Baruch here. He's saying he, in fact, he was just giving himself to this. And the reason for that and what that does for us, when you find people who are just enthusiastic about that, it spreads. Enthusiasm spreads. When you've got that kind of fire, when you're burning up, when you've got that kind of zeal that's driving you, then you find out that it infects others as well. And so we need to make sure we're building with enthusiasm. And then finally, I'll tell you one of the things I like about this chapter. Chapters 1 and 2 mention almost exclusively Nehemiah. And so we remember Nehemiah. And we remember Nehemiah as this great leader of God's people, and Nehemiah as this one who really got this project going and got this project completed because of the great man that Nehemiah was, and he continues to show himself as a great man all throughout this section. And then I would just ask you, well, how much do you remember about Zakur? But God did. I mean, God recorded his name. And Eliashib here, the high priest, he recorded his name. And as you go through there, you start thinking, who are these people? I'll tell you who these people are. These are people that God recorded for us to understand that they were workers on the wall in the project that God gave them. And I would tell you, you want to talk about an encouragement. Praise be to our God that he recognizes every little thing every person does for him. That's what he says. He says, you talk about a great encouragement. Understand, God's followers are always recognized by God. He knows who's working. Now, the nobles of Tekoa, he made sure to let you know something about them too. He says, I know they're not working. I mean, he knows who's not. He knows who's pretending. But he says, I know if you're putting forth effort. I know if you're working. That should encourage us. Have you ever been at your regular place of employment and thought, it's really frustrating because I worked so hard on this particular project and the boss never even knew it? You ever had one of those situations? Or maybe the boss thought somebody else did it or somebody else took credit for it. And that's so frustrating. Never happens with God. God knows exactly what you're doing. He knows every ounce of energy you've ever expended on his behalf. He says, great followers. God knows who they are. And so we end up with a choice. Three groups of people, and they all show up in Nehemiah, and I would tell you, they all show up in life. You got a project, we have to answer the question, who are we? There are constructionists. Those are the people that are building. Those are the people that they're not always making great progress, but they're picking up a brick. There are times we're going to see in Nehemiah that it says they could only pick up one brick at a time. Why? They had two hands. They couldn't pick up two bricks at one time. Why not? Because they had a brick in one hand, it says, and they had a spear in the other, or a sword in the other, because they were having to think in terms of defending themselves as well as building the wall. Sometimes couldn't make as much progress as they might have liked to have made. But they're constructionists. Those are the ones who are building. Those are the ones who are saying, you know what, I want to make sure the Lord's church is growing every day and I'm going to do my part. They're a destructionist. There are those, and hopefully those are not the ones that are inside the Lord's body, but they are sometimes, who are tearing down. There are those who are counterproductive to the work of God. But I don't think the destructionists are the ones that we normally contend with the most. What we're going to see is the same as what Nehemiah dealt with. He didn't deal with those who were destroying the wall near as much as he dealt with obstructionists. Those were just ones who tried to get in the way, ones who discouraged, ones who said things, ones who tried to stop the work. They weren't out tearing the bricks off themselves, but they weren't doing anything to help. They were just kind of in the way. I need to make sure that I'm not in the way. I need to make sure that I am lined up behind those who are leading us in the work of God and that I'm following, because you want the key. Oh, the key is caring, and the key is praying, and the key is good leadership. But it all falls too if we don't at least get to this point where people line up behind the leaders and work. And if you think there's any lack of work to do in God's kingdom, boy, have we missed the picture, haven't we? We just know that. I mean, we're a group of whatever here. We have 170 or so on a Sunday morning, including kids. There's enough work in this community that if we had 500 starting this Sunday, there's enough work for all 500. There's no lack of work. That's not the issue. So there's plenty we could do. We want to make sure that we're walking behind the leaders, following them in the way of the Lord. Let's make sure that we're all headed that direction, thinking in terms of what we can do for God's kingdom. If you're not a Christian, following is the first thing he asks you to do. He says that's in fact what you need to do. You need to take up your cross. You need to follow me, Jesus said. If you're willing to do that, we hope you'll do it tonight. If you want to be baptized into Christ, if you understand that's what he teaches, take care of it tonight. We'd love to help you with that. If you don't know that's what he teaches, please ask us. We'd love to sit down and study with you. We have numerous people who would love to sit down and open up their Bibles and show you what God says. For all of us that are Christians, may we understand, as we've already said, this has to be the day that we're moving forward. Each time we're talking about this, each time we're moving, we need to do something with the lessons that we're talking about. How do we grab these things? How do we take that burden that we feel for the Lord's work and get to accomplishing what he wants us to accomplish? Let's make sure that we're not obstructing, but that we're doing everything we can to help build his kingdom on earth. If we can help you today, let us know while we stand and sing.